Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, folks. It's Monday night. Thanks for tuning in to Raising Expectations. We are so thankful for you. We pray for you, many by name, many we don't know, but the key thing is that God knows what you need, and we just lift you up, and he takes care of the rest on that. You pretty much know about our show. We're here to raise expectations, and what we try to do in that is bring the presence of God, the presence of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the wonderful times you can have with the Lord, which leads to an unshaking faith in who the Lord is and what his word says. He will be true to his word. And we always say the greatest thing we can imagine, he died on the cross for our sins. He's coming again for us, and it may be closer than we think. But the neat part about that is until he decides to come back, he walks with us every day in every one of those expectations that need to be raised. That's what he's doing. That's why we love the Lord, and that's why we're a family. And this team, they're a great bunch of people. I'm going to tell you about them real quick. I'm going to introduce them. Most of you know, but there's always somebody who says, I didn't know who that person was. I said, neither did we. I don't know how they got on there. No, I didn't say that. But anyway, I'm just sharing with you a little bit here. I want to start on the West Coast, all the way out in Lompoc, California. And that is just above Santa Barbara. That is Dr. Paul Hall. Dr. Paul is a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's been my friend 50 years. He's been teaching, helping, loving, caring for people. One day at a time is his famous slogan from the Word of God. Just one day at a time, he seeks the faith. He's a great man of God. Love you, Paul. I'm glad you're here. And it's great to have you here. And we could do what we did last year, and you'd say, hi, Paul, and you could say, hi, y'all. That went over real good. I got two comments on that.
Yeah. I understand, Texan.
Yeah, I didn't know. They were from Texas, too, both of them. Anyway, it's great to see you, Paul. So, and if we move again across the nation and fly all the way across to the south, in the little bit north of the south, but just a touch there in Dalton, Georgia, we come to Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. Steph is the founder and CEO of Quenching Wells. She's a tremendous prayer support lady. We say this every week, but many of you keep asking about it. And so I hope you're looking up her page. You can get it on our page, and she has stuff all the time that she speaks about. She knows what to eat, how the body works, and because she knows that the Lord's working in your life, and it's the temple of God, she wants to help you take care of it. And also, she has a great prayer warrior set up with an awful lot of great women in the ministry that she knows. So she's just a great lady, and she has a great husband who, and that's the guy right there. That's Dr. Tank, we call him. He's a trauma surgeon. He's an author. He's a surgeon who gives of himself, not just when he's in a hospital here, but gives of himself to people literally around the world on different times. This man goes out of his way. When I think about some of the things he's done, I get tired, and I don't know how he does it, but he's amazing. And he knows that Steph's praying for him, and his boys are praying for him, and his family. And so he's with us tonight. And Tank loves the Lord. He's also an author of his new book called Saved. You'll find all those things. In fact, there they are, engineers on the spot, called Saved. Craig Thayer, Finding God in the Ordinary. And I don't know about you, but I got more ordinary in my life than extraordinary. It gets extraordinary when God takes control of it. And that's just what he's going to tell you about in his book. God turns it into extraordinary, and he raises expectations. So we want to thank Craig for that, and we'll talk more about those things later. So that's the Thayers, and there they are on the east, south, in Georgia, right there. And then if we come back this way, yes, Steph, I see. Yes, I see that.
This man has been awake at least 36 hours. He just got home from Uganda. He took like an hour nap. So if he says anything crazy, we're glad to have him home.
It's because I have malaria. That's why. So.
That's a good thing to know. Thanks, Steph. You just stay right close to him. Yeah, you know, he's going to do it. If he starts to lean, that's no problem. Tank, you're something else. Love you, brother. Can't believe it. All the way back from the other part of the world, and here he is helping us out. So God bless you. That's dedication. That's the love of God. So if we start back from the east there and make our way back, you can catch a quick nap right here, Tank. We're going to go back to Texas, and we're going to go to the great state of Texas, which is the South America there, and in the great city of McKinney. We have our favorite pastor there in Texas, and that is Ron Greer. He's with Man in the Mirror. He counsels, he preaches, he teaches. Most of all, he loves men and helps them to know God loves them. He's an example of what God could do in someone's life. Got a testimony you wouldn't believe. It's incredible. And most of all, the love of God flows through his life all the time. So between he and Paul and the Thayers, I just get blessed beyond belief. I'm Pastor Joe. Most of you know me. 53 years in ministry now. Somebody reminded me of that the other day, and I erased the text. But anyway, just kidding. That's a long time. But these guys right here are the greatest blessing in my life every week, and I know they are from the text that you give me. So we got a great team here, and they're your family, and we've got part of our family. Really, we claim them already. And that is Dr. Marianne and her husband, discipler, great man of God, Will Cintron. Marianne has done so much in the area of helping dyslexic children, helping autistic understanding. In fact, I kind of put a challenge out there this time for people to say, if you knew more about dyslexia and autism, would it make a difference? And would you hear those words instead of in your mind, instead with love from your heart, so that you could become something of what she is in helping people, children and parents, turning warring homes into happy homes because they understand. And it's amazing what she does. She does so much for so many. Kids love her, adults love her, families love her. She stands up for the rights of families to be actual families, parents. It's their kids. She stands up in school board meetings and where they have to have guards. I mean, it's amazing what's going on in our nation. But don't worry.
Right.
God's taking care of this. And I don't know. Will tells me she's got a great right cross anyway. So I'm not worried. Ron, So I want you to welcome with me tonight, if you would. And we're going to do this special round of applause for Dr. Marianne and Will Cintron. And Marianne and Will, welcome to our Raising Expectations.
Thank you. Joe, do you realize how funny you are?
No, just
yes.
Yeah, just talk about the. That's why I said, dude, most people we're with are probably real serious. But it's like I
no,
said,
you're funny.
School and drama, everything I ever did turned into a comedy. They kicked me out of drama. But anyway, So, Marianne, lead us in tonight. You will tell us what's going and give us the opportunities. You had some great things you shared with me.
It is wonderful to be here again. We never know from month to month how our lives are going to be changing and right transforming. So one month we're promoting something, another month we have a new promotion. October is over. Tomorrow is the last day of October already. And there's so many things. October is Cancer Awareness Month. It's Dyslexia Awareness Month. But I'm trying to think of other things because I've always been on the bandwagon to promote, you know, let's help learn about dyslexia. And 3 years ago, I did an event in our local community to raise awareness about dyslexia. And we got a proclamation from the City Council of Pomona to declare October as National Dyslexia Awareness Month. So this month, I felt really impressed of the Lord to put my reading training program, so my training videos, for sale for $39.99. Wow, so normally, cool. I'll sell it for $2,000 and give people on special days, we'll have 50% discounts. But this is a very special promotion, and I want to keep it going because it shouldn't end, because we want to reach 20,000 teachers to be trained how to work with dyslexia. They don't know what to do still. and we want to help 300,000 kids. So we're going to keep this program going. It's later on, you're going to get the link for it, but it's tutors20k.com. Very easy to find. And with this, you're going to get all my training videos. I have a level one, which is using music with our music app, CDSM. And then there's level two, if someone has been Orton Gillingham trained and wants some more reinforcement, or they want, they've been, you know, ill for a while, or they've been away from the classroom and they want a refresher without paying $30,000, $40,000 a year, because that's what it costs. It costs $30,000 to $40,000, even $50,000 a year to learn how to be Orton Gillingham trained at a university. So we're never going to reach the children we want to reach with those kind of prices and those kind of timelines. So with picking one of my reading program training videos, people will get monthly support on our Facebook group, and then we'll have a monthly Zoom with the Q&A. So I'm really excited about that. And really excited to keep the price at only $39.99. And it will be a subscription that can be canceled anytime, or people can elect to go a whole year or longer. There are some people who have tutoring businesses that want to add more tools to their toolbox, and this is perfect for them.
Would you like to show it right now while you're talking? Would you like to show it while you're speaking? EJ, can you put that up while she's talking? Thank you. There you go.
So I recently, the picture that you showed of Will and I was when we are doing our glamping, our RV glamping. That was out in Arizona, and that was in Joshua Tree. And I learned that General Patton was dyslexic. So I have a YouTube talking about that. But so that's our glamping experience. And I had somebody call me that said, I have a tutoring practice. I've got 12 tutors. Half have been trained in Orton Gillingham, half haven't. So if you scroll down, CJ, you'll see some of the options. I have a level one and a level two. So if you've been Orton Gillingham trained, I recommended, well, she wanted that for her tutors. So I said, get the ones who haven't been trained in Orton Gillingham in it. And then I said, sign up two of your people who have been trained in it. And you might want to add your own kind of component to be unique to your, you know, your tutoring service. So they're all, it's multi-sensory approach, which is how dyslexic kids need to be worked with. And the first level includes my music app, CDSM.
Man.
I have a question, Mary.
Yeah.
So, you know, I come from the homeschooling world.
Yeah.
Do you think that level one would be appropriate for homeschool parents?
Well, the thing with learning to work with dyslexic children is very unique, because there's a very specific, it's not rocket science, but there is science behind it. So I just got a job. I'm going to answer your question with a story. I just got a wonderful, amazing job at a local school district with mod severe kids. So really they're autistic. Mm-hmm. And the principal is so excited to have me on her campus because I do know about dyslexia. And she said she wants to talk to me about getting it on, you know, the training at her school. So what I want to do is make copies of all my workbooks. So there's 7 books, but I want her to look at the workbooks for the 2nd through 4th graders and the workbooks for the 5th graders and above. Well, it'll be 5th graders. So the kids who can work in the workbook without a problem, you know, they're not dyslexic. But the kids who struggle with the workbook, it's because they need explicit instructions. And I'm not just saying, okay, so this page, we have 3 words, 2 go together, you know, they're like a category and 1 doesn't match at all. So go ahead and go through that and model a little bit. And so the students can follow as a teacher normally would model. But once the modeling stops, can the student continue? Like one of the examples was a ham and pig and street. Well, obviously, street doesn't belong, right? So you cross off street. So if a student can't continue with a regular work page with a little bit of instruction, that is a red flag. There could be dyslexia there. So, you know, if this principal is wise and does this and gives this to, you know, the workbook to the teachers, prints them for the teachers, that'll be a really fast way to find out who needs intervention for dyslexia. Yeah. So then if, you know, we pull out some teachers and give them some extra training, this is how we teach the kids who have dyslexia so that they can do this workbook.
Mm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So excited about that.
Yeah. I mean, just as a mama with a child with dyslexia, and then we found out that he was dyslexic too. We have spent so much money. And today you would not know that our son is dyslexic. You wouldn't be able to tell. He works much harder than other people and he did a lot of work. But how amazing would it be for more schools? I mean, just there, I know teachers are constantly trying to educate and help, and it'd be so powerful. And that is a very affordable price point. I mean, you deserve to be paid what you're worth, but I am grateful that you are offering it. So thank you.
Thank you. And all my materials are on Teachers Pay Teachers. So there's a lot of schools downloading curriculum from Teachers Pay Teachers. So it's not always certain programs that are, you know, very, very expensive programs. So if anybody wanted to go to Teachers Pay Teachers, look for Dr. Marianne Cintron, they can find those workbooks and download them.
I would love to give a plug for that really quick. So Teachers Pay Teachers is a website. It's kind of like Etsy, but it's really for educators, and you can find a plethora of stuff. Some things are free. Most of the things are a charge, but they can be very specific. So we had a kid that wanted to know electromagnetic something, something, and we found it on there. So you can give a really rich education. You can even learn yourself on there. And so I love that you have a user on there and that people can purchase from you, because that is such a great way to take education kind of into your own hands as a family and as a household.
Amen.
Yeah. And sometimes because it's tricky to navigate Teachers Pay Teachers, I have the link on my website. So it's a dys-sol.com. If you go under store, the Teacher Pay Teacher link is right there. So it's very easy. They can just go right to it.
Perfect. Awesome.
Yeah, perfect.
dys-sol.com. There it is.
There you go. Thanks,
TJ. Yeah, so you got to go up to the upper, the top, all those, what do they call them? Bam, bam, bam.
There you go.
Yeah.
The little words. Right?
Yeah, there is there a store?
Store, there you go.
And I even have the videos that we record here. I put on there under media. So all of our interviews with Joe and the panel are advertised here under media. Yeah, so they can just go right into that drop down and find out. A lot of people are ordering my pre-screen for dyslexia. I charge $4.99. So they
very affordable.
Very popular. Anyway.
I won't tell you how much we paid for that test, but it was very expensive.
Yeah.
This is passion of mine. So sorry. I'm going to talk a little bit here.
No worries,
but I was looking up. I was like, what is happening in the dyslexia world? And one of the things I noticed, I don't know if you guys know the Fonz. He's an actor. Well, that was his character.
Henry Winkler. Yeah.
Okay. So he came out with a book recently and he talks about being dyslexic and how much he struggled with the lines and being frustrated and feeling like he was stupid, which he's not. So I thought that was really interesting. I think more people than you would know are dyslexic. A lot of people hide it. And then the other thing was that there's actually a bill in the House of Representatives right now trying to get more resources and a better definition for the American Disability Act for dyslexics, because a lot of times, even though you have the diagnosis, not much happens in the school. You know, it's really, really hard to get those resources. So I don't know if that will go through or not, but it's exciting to just see that there's more and more people coming to support.
Well, we've been working on that for years, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. I've been on the board for the International Dyslexia Association, and I stepped down recently just to take care of some personal things. But the past 2 years, we have been working with legislation and trying to get it into the colleges, because the teachers being trained still aren't being trained sufficiently in dyslexia. And even at the new district I'm at, when we're in the lounge and the new teachers are saying, we don't even know about dyslexia.
Yeah, there you go.
And we've been working on that for so long. It's just a travesty.
Yeah, what's the percentage of the population that has dyslexia?
So 1 in 5.
Yeah,
one
so it's 20%. If you would hit these kids early in 1, 2, 3rd grade.
They really should be remediated early.
This would not have to spend significant dollars after that because those kids would be mainstream.
Well, another thing is the self-esteem of the kids. We went to a concert recently, Casting Crowns.
Yes.
Have you heard of them? Yeah. Yes. And Mark Hall is the lead of Casting Crowns, and he said he's dyslexic. And he talked a little bit about growing up, how going to school was brutal for him.
Yeah, right.
You know, the kids, you know, they're bullied or they just have such low self-esteem. And Tank, your story, your book is amazing.
Yeah, third grade. I mean, I walk into class and it's dimly lit and there's a projector that's got words on it like Star Wars that are going to start rolling and I got to keep up with the reading. In a place long and far ago and far away. And I'm like, four girls get up there and just kick butt. Yeah. And then I get up there skipping lines and going backwards and like, I'm Chinese.
Well, truth be told, even today he was reading something and you were justifying your experience.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to read what I wrote to some folks that were following me on the mission trip. So I write an email from each day. So I'm trying to read what I wrote today and the car's bouncing around. You know, it's hard to just keep the same line as it is, let alone bouncing around. So,
yeah.
But the ego thing. So I didn't realize this until like you reflect back. That's why I was a class clown. That's why I received the award from a Green Beret sixth grade teacher, Mr. Hill, who had me at the back of the class the first day and goes, nope, there's right in front of my desk. And so the long wooden pointer with a black tip was called the Benson Bopper from the year before of the victorious student that got the most bops. And I knew how many that was. So I had to go for the record. But the end of the year was called the Thayer Thumper. So, so in order to maintain your ego, you find some other way to, you know, make yourself feel okay.
Yeah.
And that supports the fact that there's a culture in jail that has a huge number of dyslexics.
Yeah.
So you wonder if by going to school, those kids felt like I did and never found a way to boost their ego.
Yeah.
And then just said, I don't need to do this and drop out, join a gang.
Yeah,
and doing stupid stuff, and then they're
it's
in jail.
Like 67.9% in our prisons are dyslexic, or they say illiterate. They don't want to call it dyslexic, but they're illiterate. And then, which means they could read maybe to a third or fourth grade level. But when I assess adults, they're not writing beyond a third grade level, but they can comprehend maybe to an eighth grade level. Mm. But that's still not sufficient for an adult. And then our juvenile court systems has like 88% of the kids in the juvenile court system are dyslexic. And they're creative kids, just they're creative in the wrong way, right? Acting out.
I would just like to say for those that have not listened to prior episodes that you have been on, you're very passionate about the prison population. Yeah. I am too. And this is part of the conversation of why we should not have this common core and all kids are the same. We are not, and we are unique. And so a lot of these dyslexic children are being shoved into a square that they do not fit into. And we are missing out on all of their creative capabilities. And if you look at some of the most successful entrepreneurs, they are in fact dyslexic. So we are really doing a disservice to this 20% of the population.
Yes.
So, what's your take on why dyslexia and autism isn't something that's expressly taught and focused on in education in the colleges and universities?
Because, you know, we were trying to have an after school intervention because you can't pull the kids out of the classrooms to do the intervention. So we were trying to come up with when to do it. And the teachers are already exhausted. And for them to get more training and work after school with kids, maybe they don't want to. They're maxed out. So I think the teachers, the school administration doesn't really know if they get kids diagnosed, what are they going to do? How are they going to handle it? How are they going to remediate? So they need a plan, and they need to know it can be done in an after-school program. And there are college kids who are working those after-school programs that can be trained in a very affordable manner in my program. I don't know about everybody else's, because everybody else is out there for the money. I'm out there for goals, success.
That's right.
But would it be more efficient to have that part of the curriculum in the university, going through your certification, your training there?
They're trying to do it, and I don't know why the colleges are having such a hard time wrapping their head around it, because we've, received their feedback, and we'll give them more feedback. Like, you're not addressing this. So they'll try to address it. No, they're still not addressing the need. So it's just an ongoing battle.
Most of the training for teachers has absolutely no child development in it. Like, none.
I was even promoting this, my reading program, that if you're taking the RECA, which is the California Teacher Reading Test, you need to sign up for this class, because you need to learn how to teach reading this way. So I would love to reach a lot of college kids that way.
I think that your question, Ron, is, I think the answer is a much bigger problem. I think the school system in general has a lot of bureaucracy. And I think much of it is teaching to a test today. We have not really changed our system, and it needs to change. And so you'll see kids, I don't know if you've heard of the iReady, but it's a nightmare of an exam. And so you take it at the beginning of the year and near the end, I think it's like first through 10th grade, and it changes as you're progressing. So if you do well, it gives you harder questions. If you don't do well, it gives you easier questions. But the problem is, a lot of these things have not been taught to the kids. So it'll get harder and harder and harder. And it's very overwhelming and very frustrating. They are being taught to test well on this and not actually learn and retain and be able to apply whatever they're learning in real life. And so I think the system needs a lot of refinement in how to actually serve kids. And I've shared this a million times. I would love to see in the elementary years, especially through third grade, where you have classrooms that are based on the learning style of the child, because they are very, very different. And then as they get a little bit older, the expectation can be to sit and to do worksheets and whatever, but because they are so different, and you could literally have a class that is specifically for dyslexic children. And if that happened, you wouldn't see these deficits. You would see much higher test scores, but getting that beast to change is, where you start.
Yeah. I think something's happened in society too that has direct bearing on this. I think you mentioned it before, Marianne, that there are no losers. Everybody from the little child up wins. Everybody wins. Nobody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a ribbon. Oh, you lost the game 130-2, but everybody's a winner. We need to have defeats in life too, where we say we have to suck it up and say, whoa, that didn't work. That's where the parental support, that's where the teacher support is. Hey, that wasn't really great, but I'm going to help you go to the next level. And if somebody has dyslexia or something, I've got a daughter who went through a lot of stuff. I watched her knock them out one by one. You had to make up something to get through something. I used to tell her, don't go all the way around it. Go through it, but find ways that you could cope with this. We pray, and that's, she learned to cope. You shared some of this the first or second time before. But we need to change the society. Of course, that's way back now. But, nobody ever loses. If we don't lose sometimes in life, we'll never know what it means to win.
Yeah, that's right. And when you lose, you learn from your mistakes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Our daughter competed for Little Miss San Dimas in our community. And she was a fourth grader and she didn't make it. But when she competed, she realized what the other girls were doing that were ranking first, second, and third place. And she said, I'm going to compete again and I'm going to win it this time. And she did. As a fifth grader, she got a little beautiful crown, a ride in a carriage. But yeah, but so you, when you make the choice to learn from, you know, I hate to say the word fail, but, and she didn't even make mistakes. She didn't know what she didn't know. We didn't know.
I like to also think and relate this to, you know, the medical field. They go to these electronic medical records. So you go to see your doctor or nurse practitioner, whoever, and they're like staring at the computer and they're trying to figure it all out. Well, the teachers, what's expected of the teachers now is so much different than it used to be. Most of them have class sizes over 30. They have all these different things that they have to accommodate for kids. Their hands are really tied on how they're able to discipline or not discipline at all. You know, it's very, they do not get paid enough. I mean, I almost, when we moved across the country, Tennessee was really struggling with teachers and substitute teachers. So I thought, oh, I can sign up to go substitute. I have experience. I don't need a specific degree for that. It pays less than the fast food restaurants. That is not okay. So we have other problems as well. And our expectations of these educators, which really are our next generation, they are the next answer. You know, we need to be investing in them. And instead, what's happening is sort of herd management. And a socialization agenda, which has nothing to do. And I just saw an article on the ACT scores. They are drastically down for kids. I mean, from COVID on, these kids are, it's a problem. And to be competitive and what we need to do in the world, the efforts
that ACT, are putting in. The act. ACT,
yeah, it's like the SAT or the ACT. Yeah, it's a college entrance exam. But what you are doing in your entire life work, Marianne, is stuff that needs to be happening and implementing so that we can help the next generation really rise up and be competitive and be confident in all of those things.
Well, and I tell you, I have to stay motivated, and you guys really encourage me. My husband encourages me when you have stuff for people to help them and they just don't have time in their schedule to look at it. I have school districts that are always watching my YouTubes and they're in my email list and they're watching what I send them, but darned if they don't call me up and schedule something. And I've called them and I've left messages, but they just don't make that effort to connect. And, you know, to put it at a price point like this, it's just God's going to bring the people who are serious, that have hearts right before him, and that really need help.
So, I have a girl. Go ahead, Tank. I'm sorry.
So let me give you this idea. So, I mean, we've got five kids. Or had. I haven't killed any of them yet. So.
No, we still have five.
Yeah, we still have five. Sorry.
I'm glad you clarified that.
Call anybody, please. That's, you know, I'm jet lag.
So,
you know, a group of our kids have grown up where they would switch out of one class, go to another teacher for math. Why couldn't the school go old and new? Meaning, okay, at this hour, we're going to send the kids that have dyslexia to room A, all age groups, like old school classrooms where you had K to 12 almost. And the teacher there is very well trained in dyslexic training and reading, and they teach all those grades. Would that be overwhelming for one teacher?
No, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you train one person.
And we see it in that.
An old school K to 12, or you know, it would be K to 8 or K.
Well, I can tell you one of
back.
These.
And send all the aides to her to help.
Yeah.
I can say one of the inhibitors to that is, by the way, I have my wife just retired as a counselor. My sister's a teacher. My mother was a teacher. Mother-in-law, all the way down the line. All these teachers in our family.
You're right, surrounded. So
and we have battles, believe me. They don't think very highly of me. But, you know, vice versa. But but anyway, one of the things that that we've always debated and argued about is this idea that, for instance, like the suggestion you just made, Tank, is that somehow it, what's most important are kids' feelings. And if you separate kids out based on some negative, characteristic, they don't want to do that because it adds a stigma to the kids. Whereas, okay, are you interested in helping the kid long term, or are you just afraid of what might happen now? You know, explain it to them, and they're focused on that. I'm saying that the other problem that we've debated back with over and over again is that if you'd spent less time sort of socializing and turning kids into social justice things and addressing all those irrelevant issues that your parents can work out, that would give you countless more hours in a day to really focus on things that matter. Because if you go, I know homeschoolers, the whole network of them who worked in my campaign and still good friends, they do in 4 hours what the schools don't accomplish in 8. And I'm going, okay, how in the world is that possible? And again, knowing educators and having been worked with, I volunteered in schools for probably 16 years. And they finally got tired of me and I got tired of them. I stopped because it was a waste of time. but if you see this wasted effort and time that has nothing to do with educating children. I mean, when you teach them to think, you teach them to read, you teach them to problem solve, none of that. Too much the time and effort is spent on social issues, on things that have nothing to do with them and all the self-esteem and feelings and that sort of thing. I'm going, and nobody will hear you when you say, you know what? I'll worry about my kids' feelings at home. You just teach them.
Exactly. Thank you.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, now that I know what it is, it's still not a disability to me. It's not a short bus problem. It's not where I need to wear a helmet in a bus. You know, so, you're right. You would tease those kids just like I just did. Sorry if you've been on one of those buses before. So, I mean, the reality is my processing speed is infinite versus using my cortex to read. It's about 250 characters per minute. So you're limited when you read. I am limited when I read, but I process that information like that. So in a trauma case, if I've got stuff memorized, I'm going to kick butt. Yeah. The downside is, and I've had to take a million tests, I always knew I was a slow reader. So I would worry more about that during the exam, which is completely disabling as far as they're distracting, not disabling, but So so if you promote this as something that's more positive, it may not be a short bus, you know, a special class, but SPED, as the kids call it.
So being married, you know, being married, you learn a lot about each other. And I am an avid reader. I love reading. And if it's a really good book, it'll be done in a day. And Craig looks at me like I'm crazy, but here's the ironic thing. If Craig sees it or he hears it, he knows it verbatim. And he will tell me that he was talking with our kid about chemistry. I don't remember anything from college chemistry. He's got it all in his brain. So we're very different, right? It isn't, I know that, you know, being removed, anytime you're picked out or set apart in a group, it's very hard, especially in junior high. But it's not a bad thing. I like to equate it to being left-handed. That's not a bad thing. It's just different.
Yeah, exactly.
It used to be a bad thing. I know. Yeah. It used to be a bad
Right-handed.
Well, it still is, actually. But...
Do you say, Paul, about right-handed people?
I said right-handed people are different. Left-handed people have got it made.
I got to tell you quick.
One child that we have is left-handed. So we're 20%.
When I was a principal at Cannonville Christian Academy up in Oregon, I had students from all over the state of Oregon passed one of the first of their foolish follies that they've been passing forever, ever since. We were told, and I had to demand of all the teachers in school, we had about 70 of them, that they were not allowed to grade Johnny's papers with red ink because red ink will damage his psyche.
Yeah.
Self-esteem.
Okay, I have a question. On your exams, do you remember the questions you got right? Or do you remember the questions that you got wrong?
Exactly. That's how you learn. Amen, Steph.
No, but it makes them feel bad, get the red marks, and it causes panic.
Well, that's most important. Green. You could use green or blue. Right.
Exactly. I don't,
they wanted purple. I should have known where they were going with that one.
Yeah. Why you got to pick up
again? It's one of those things that it. I interviewed with Doc before. You know, I don't know if I'm dyslexic, but I know I had a lot of problems in school and had some brilliant teachers that kind of understood it. And I'm like Tank, like you said, right? It's all the books behind me here. It's like I've read some of them, but I read portions of books for something I need. I find information, read that part, and the rest of it may sit there. I intend to get back to it. Most of them I don't. But I'm like Tank also. Even in a church, I can't take notes and listen to someone speak. I still can't do it to this day. So I hear stuff and it gets planted in my head. I read stuff and it gets planted in my head. I don't have the ability to, like my wife, I hate it. She's like you. She can sit and read through a book in a night. Her mother was even worse. I'm going, who reads 280 pages in 2 hours? How do
it
you do that?
It brings me joy. It brings me joy. So I have a few resources. So Audible is fantastic. Craig reads a lot now on Audible. Libby,
a gift from God.
Yeah, Libby is an app that is connected to the public library system. So if you have a local library card, you can use the Libby app, and you can get both Kindle books, but you can get audio books for free, and you can also get magazines. So I always check on Libby first, and I get a lot of my audio books there because they're very expensive when you buy them, right?
Wait, Libby?
Libby. Yeah. Yes. And so you need to have a local library card. A lot of your libraries will even allow you to get a card online, and they'll give you the number, and then you can create your Libby account. It's very simple. If you have a dyslexia diagnosis, there is also I think it's government funded. It may be grant funded. It's called learningally.com. You have to have a diagnosis. It's $120 a year, and it's unlimited audiobooks, including textbooks at different grades. It changed our child's life.
What was the program that had the coloring that?
That does it. And then the other thing is there's a great app, and I think you can put it on your computer, called Speechify. You can turn anything that is written text into voice. It is free as a computerized sound, which our kid hates. And I think for like $80 a year, you can pick from 30 different voices. Ironically, he prefers Obama's voice. So all of his books are read in Obama. I don't know what to tell you.
What's going wrong?
He's a very conservative child, but he likes Obama's voice.
Hey,
okay. So just some thoughts. There's a lot of resources.
Really good, Steph.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good, really good tips. There's Dyslexia Hacks, where we had someone on our YouTube that would share what dyslexic people could do to read better and get spelling. I wanted to share, though, that schools are always doing staff developments. They're called different acronyms, or
yes,
PDs, professional development. They, you know, I want to reach out to administrators. Look at my programs. I show some samples of what the training would look like. You could even go to that page and look at one of the samples of the steps of the training program. But this would be amazing to do at staff development, because sometimes they don't know what to do when they meet every week, when they have minimum day. What should we do next week?
And nobody likes them, think they're absolutely useless. My wife is one. Because they have staff development that just useless stuff. Every now and then, one. This would be worth that. Yes.
Okay, so if you are a teacher, if you are a parent and you know it's not happening in your school, take this information, right? We have to be grassroots to get this happening.
That's right. Bring it to your school board too. Get up there.
Yeah.
I got to take the evaluation.
It's $4.95 on Teachers Pay Teachers. You can do it in the privacy of your home.
You won't know. Nobody will know. That's good. No.
No one would ever know.
Yeah, right. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to take just a break here. Let you know you could use your help as we look at things. And I know it's been kind of tough, everybody. The economy is going up. It's getting better and better. Ask Biden. Smith, President Biden. Anyway, just kidding. Oh boy, that was a loaded one. In any event, moving right along here, week usual. Some of you have been doing that. I want to thank every one of you, and I'm going to ask Stephanie. I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of us too, and then I want to roll it to Stephanie. She's really good at sharing our heart. Thanks, Steph.
The non-pastor gets to share the gift of giving and receiving. So I don't know if you knew this, but everything that you have in your account is actually from the Lord. The gifts that you have, it's all because of God, not because of your own works. I know that sometimes we think that, but your giving is huge, whether it's at your church, which you should be doing, and to other organizations, including what we're doing here. And you can find out all of the information at bbsradio.com/raisingexpectations. We always love your donations. It's very, very helpful to us. It does cost to do all of these things in production, and we have an amazing community at BBS. We're super grateful for them, but you know, you have to pay the bills. So you can learn the information at the top of how you can give. There's lots of ways to do that. And then you can find out about past shows. You can listen to them, past guests. We have all that information. We talk about the different co-hosts on here. You can follow each of us on all the different platforms, and Pastor Joe and Craig's books. So we have a plethora of information on there. But if you followed this and you think, oh gosh, I don't remember, what was that dyslexia specialist name? You can go right here. You can find, oh yeah, it's Marianne. And then you can find her. So we try to make it very easy for you to find all of the resources that you need to get plugged back in. And of course, we love your feedback. Please feel free to email Pastor Joe about, you know, guests, content, ideas. We love what you have to say. That's why we're here, is to just be a light and build community.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Steph. Exactly. As they say in England, spot on. That was really good. Spot on.
I share something really fast before we go?
Where is it?
Today we had an art festival for all the special ed kids in our San Gabriel Valley, the SELPA. And so these were like all the autistic kids in this district, in many, many, many districts. And they were all bussed into this big arts festival right in our city. So how funny is that? So I'm a new special ed teacher. So I've been an educator for 25 years, a classroom teacher for 10. And here I am back in the classroom. Last year I did home hospital teaching. So it prepared my heart for this year. So the superintendent of our school was there, and one of the board members. These are the people that I spoke to when I went up to the school board to talk about keeping parents involved and talking about other issues in our school. Here they see me with a t-shirt that I'm with the school, and they're like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, I'm teaching now at this school site. And they're like, wow. So it's so funny because I don't have to prove anything to anybody anymore. You know, I've been there, done that. I've done this. This is, I mean, giving God the glory. We have videos out there. We're training people. It felt so relaxing just to say, hi, good to see you. But now I'm doing this. It was just such the coolest feeling.
Amen. It was good. Well, this world we live in, like you said earlier, Mary, in this world we live in today, I really don't care what people think. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the faith that we can have because God is true to his word. When's he going to do? What's he going to do? I don't know. But faith, because there should be no anxiety. He is going to do what he's going to do.
That's right.
Transforms. Well,
what you just said made me think too. It's kingdom work. Amen. What we do, you know, our society often measures in prestige or title or amount of salary. And really, that is the wrong way to assess. You know, you can be discipling to these young people and never say the name of Jesus and be loving on them in a classroom. And that could have the most profound impact on their life. I remember my first grade teacher very, very clearly, right? So I love that you shared that because you do not have anything to prove. You answer to the Lord. You're working for these little people. I'm sure it's great most days. Some days you get boogers, you know. It's true.
Yeah.
We had a friend over last night and we were talking, and So with this class, her students, most of them are, you know, autistic, and to teach them, for them to be learning and seeing progress daily, is not going to happen. It may happen over a long period of time. She might see something, but she's not a teacher here. She's a minister. She's got a ministry to these kids. Mm-hmm. And it's just to bring in the presence of the Lord when she goes into that classroom and have that presence there and for them to be impacted by that. And mm-hmm. we don't know how the Lord works, you know, what he can do and what he can do with these kids and their parents. So she's, you know, Marianne's has an amazing gift God has given her.
Amen. And, she does. She does.
Know, and it, right here. Just looking forward to seeing how he's using her at this time.
And for people who don't know, when that home hospital assignment ended, I went into a chaplaincy program so that I could go into the hospitals and help kids and have an open door to help them. And so it's just so neat how the Lord orchestrated all this that I didn't need to go to the hospitals. Now I'm going to a classroom.
He's so good. Love Ephesians 2. Before the foundation of the world, the steps were prepared for you to walk in, and your steps go right across a divine appointment with whoever that is. And that divine appointment, God's going to do what Will just said. He's going to do something great in that person's life. You don't need a lot of recognition. That doesn't mean anything. What matters is that they recognize Jesus Christ in you.
Yeah.
That's like Steph said, that's the secret. And all of you, I want to tell you from my experience, I recognize Jesus Christ in every one of you, and you bless my life every week. Just want you to know that. Boy, we missed you, Ron. Glad you're back.
Hey, thank you.
But just want you to know that. So, well, ladies and gentlemen,
just got back last night.
Oh man, okay.
We had the ARC experience this weekend. Well, 4 days at the ARC and the creation.
Oh, isn't it amazing? Amazing.
Wow. My pardon?
Yeah, absolutely, we did that amazing. A year ago.
Jealous.
It should be on everyone's list. It's really
everyone's list. Everyone's list. Yes. We're taking our grandkids now. We're gonna go back and take the grandkids.
Oh good.
Yeah, and you gotta do it in you know 2 or 3 days. One day is not.
Yeah. We went in Thursday and stayed until yesterday.
Yeah. Went to the did you go to the museum?
Yeah, both. Went to, we had some time at the ARC and then a conference of American Family. And then another day there, and then the next day at the Creation Museum.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
We need a field trip for raising expectations. Let's take a field trip. Part of the family. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just got the beeper. We're like within seconds. And thanks for tuning in tonight. God bless you and keep you, give you a peace that passes understanding. May John 14:27 be emblazoned across the back of your mind and empowering in your heart as you put your faith and your trust in him. We love and appreciate all of you. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Bless you, guys. Bless you.
Good to see you again, guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.